take a chill pill. Don't do anything. Take a break. How does that make you smarter? On this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life's principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
An activity that is resurging in popularity is Sabbath keeping, where you take one day out of the week and you take some rest. You turn off your phones, you turn off your devices, and you spend time with the people that matter most to you, and especially in your spiritual development with God. In the studio with me is our Sebastian and Jonathan, and we have Callie with us somewhere on there she is. And we want to welcome our friends on this episode on education and the Sabbath. We are in this quarter, in this season, on the topic of education. And education is not, again, we're going to sound like a broken record, we are not talking about degrees, diplomas, and detention. We are talking about spiritual development and the purpose of life. So, Sebastian, can you pray for us as we start this episode off?
Yes, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that thousands of years ago, when you created the world, you decided to set aside a day for us to rest, to know you, and to follow your example. Mm-hmm. But Lord, it was also not as one who was weary. And so, Lord, we pray that now as we discuss these things, that you may open our minds and our hearts, that we may understand you, that we may understand your purpose and why you gave the Sabbath for our development, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Jonathan, you've been with us on some episodes, and some episodes you've been resting and keeping the
inverse Sabbath.
inverse Sabbath, yeah. What are some high points that you remember from this quarter, and sync us up here?
Yeah, sure. I love this topic of education, and as you said, it's not about school so much. It's more about the broader perspective of how we are developed as human beings, in a spiritual sense, from our brokenness into the image of God, and then, of course, what God's purpose is for us. Mm-hmm. So I've been blessed, really, by every episode that we've been doing, looking at different aspects that God teaches us, you know, through the sanctuary, this blueprint that God gave us to understand how he transforms our lives, looking at how that impacts the way we interact with others, how God has given us so many ways, and we're going to look at one of them today, to reveal himself and his character to us. And how that transforms our lives. So it's hard to pinpoint one thing because this concept is so broad and all-encompassing, but it's been a blessing. That's all I can say.
Yeah, we're looking at now the biblical philosophy of education, and specifically that God has given us the gift of the Sabbath, yes? Mm-hmm. And how the Sabbath, as I said in my teaser, how does taking a break, how does resting impact in your development? Usually in this rat race that we're in, development is like do more and be more active. Right. But God is saying, no, take a chill pill, rest. Go sit down. So let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, verse 12 through 18. And Callie, if you can read that for us. Exodus chapter 31, verse 12 through 18, please.
Absolutely. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God.
All right. So this is an awesome passage, but some heavy parts in there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sync up with maybe some people who may not know about Sabbath keeping. Mm-hmm. What is Sabbath? What is Sabbath keeping? And is this a Jewish thing? Is this can we watch our TV on Sabbath? Like, yeah, just give us a briefing on and start there.
When you go back to
what's your name? It's Baptist.
Sorry, I like that too.
So Ty threw me off.
So when you think about the Sabbath, it is something that was given in creation, right, mm-hmm. when Adam and Eve were created. And what that kind of lets us know is this was not a Jewish thing or a cultural thing. This was a human thing.
Mm.
And not only was it a human thing, it was God's ideal,
yep.
right? Even before sin entered the world, he didn't institute the Sabbath after sin. He created it there as a part of that original foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that Sabbath keeping, which we believe biblically, goes from that sunset on the sixth day to the sunset, right, from evening to evening.
Mm-hmm.
As the creation account tells us, evening and morning were the first day.
Right.
And as that guides us through, this day was set aside for us not to rest and necessarily from any sort of activity, right? This wasn't about laziness, right? Netflix and binge,
mm-hmm.
right? This is more so about taking time to move away from our work and to enjoy the completed work of God,
yes.
because God himself rested.
Mm-hmm.
But he obviously didn't rest because he was tired. Mm-hmm. He rested because the work was done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the Sabbath ends up becoming this weekly reminder of the completed right. work of God, and that should be our focus and all our activity
and
on the day.
What's so beautiful about the creation account is that, you know, God created, you know, for 6 days, and he created this time and space and filled it with, you know, all the things he created.
Mm.
But the seventh day, he created time and space, but he filled it with himself. The Sabbath really is the gift, the present of God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has integrated his special holy presence into the weekly cycle, as he said, from Friday night to Saturday night. And this is part of the blessing of what it means to be alive and be connected to God. This has been going on for thousands of years.
Right.
Every Sabbath, God is especially present for us and with us to sanctify us and change our lives. It's just a beautiful thing that God has put himself, so to say, into the creation cycle.
Mm-hmm. Right. In a previous episode, I don't know which number, but we looked at the sanctuary
yes.
and the Lord placing his presence in terms of space.
Yes.
But here we're talking about the Sabbath and the Lord placing his presence in terms right. of time.
Mm-hmm.
So he is in the space-time continuum with us. And
yes.
you've got to ask yourself, how does an infinite eternal being do that?
Mm-hmm.
And right. there's many people who will argue, like, hey, if he were just to appear, he would. But how does an infinite being do that? And these are vignettes that we see of God,
mm.
and also in the incarnation of Jesus as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before we see these little incidents happening of God manifesting himself. So, Callie, what does education have to do with Sabbath keeping and Sabbath? Are these two connected, and what can we glean from this passage?
Let's go to verse 13 again.
13.
I think it really speaks to that question. Mm-hmm. It says, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." This is the key part. "That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you."
Mm-hmm.
One of the most beautiful things about the Sabbath is it reminds us who does the heavy lifting in our salvation, mm-hmm. who does all the work, and also who continues to sanctify us. And so education, you know, we've talked about that education, true education, is a refinement of our character mm-hmm. and making us more like Christ. Mm-hmm. And on the Sabbath is when we're reminded, oh yeah, like God is the one who is making me like Christ. Mm-hmm. We have our effort, you know, we do our things, but really none of it even happens without God's mm-hmm. hand itself. And so the Sabbath, you know, you kind of said it a few different ways, but what I love about the Sabbath as a workaholic and perfectionist is
Freak.
God chooses the day to tell us to not do anything, to say, this is the day that I'm the one who's doing all the work. I'm the one who always sanctifies you. I want you to remind you of that. So the day that God calls holy is the day that he tells us to rest, which shows that our activeness, our busyness does not create holiness. God himself is holy, and he shares that with us.
Amen.
I think it's very important that there's one specific day,
yeah.
and not one of any 7 days, mm-hmm. but one specific day
yes.
that he has laid. And it's not the legality that's
yes.
the emphasis, but it is that it's based on a relationship with him.
Right.
And there's many who want to de-emphasize that relationship and say, well, you know, he really just meant one of any day, one of seven, and so it doesn't, you can choose, and then the human body can just kind of rest,
yeah.
and that's, But that de-emphasized, it's kind of saying, you know, it's me and my wife, like, hey, we can just celebrate any day for our anniversary. But it really depersonalizes it. And so here, and as Kelly was saying in verse 13, and this is a sign between God and him, a memorial. This is the personality factor has to be seared into this. Otherwise, it doesn't become a legal activity. So Sebastian.
And it even goes,
Let's go to Sebastian, and then Jonathan, and then Kelly.
I was just going to say that real briefly, when you look in verse 17, it lets us know that the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And so this idea that at the root of true education is becoming acquainted with God, knowing God, and being made in the image of God, we are called to imitate him, to follow his example. And so when we take that relationship component, me keeping the Sabbath is not because of a rule that I'm trying to keep, but because I love the example and the person of Jesus Christ, of God, and I'm called to follow his example. So by me keeping the Sabbath, I'm entering into his righteous behavior. I'm entering into his perfect choice, because God is too wise to be mistaken. So if he takes a day of rest, that has to be the perfect choice to take on this day.
Our example.
To me, the Sabbath is kind of like a tropical island. And what I mean by that is, you have the island, it's beautiful, right? It's a paradise. But the island, you only see the top of the island. The water covers the rest of it. It goes down deep. There's a lot more, kind of like an iceberg. There's a lot more, but a tropical island is better than an iceberg. And so the Sabbath is a manifestation in this covenant. Verse 16 says, therefore, children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. In this relationship with God, the Sabbath becomes the visible sign of faithfulness, God's faithfulness to me always, and in response to his faithfulness, I am faithful to him. And this the Sabbath is, as you said, it's the celebration of our relationship with God. And but there's so much more, a deeper reality that is not always seen, but it's celebrated in the Sabbath. Does that make sense?
Kelly.
Yeah, well, just to your earlier point about how the Sabbath is the seventh day specifically, and going back to an earlier episode of it takes faith to know that, right? So we may not feel the supernatural thing in the air when the seventh day comes, but God said that it's the seventh day that he declared holy. And so we have to have faith to believe that and to experience that.
And that faith comes from the Word of God. When we come back after the break, we're going to look at how does the Sabbath keeping enhance your personal life, your family life, your character, your children, everything around you? After the break, stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back. We are hoping you take a little Sabbath break there. Not a biblical Sabbath, but a short little 5-minute Sabbath. what is the supernatural effect of the Sabbath upon us? There is a sanctifying. We read in verse 13. We are in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. What happens? Is there change that occurs?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to God and his holiness, you know, when God created the Sabbath, he said he sanctified it, he made it holy, and he made it holy by his presence. I think of Moses when he saw the burning bush. He was in the presence of God, and God said, take off your shoes, because the ground on which you stand is holy. There is something that happens when we are in the presence of God. The purity, the holiness of God affects us. We see ourselves in the true light that we are in. You know, we cover ourselves, you know, when we are in the presence of God, because we realize our need for salvation, and God provides that, praise him. But there is an influence, a supernatural influence, when we are in his presence. And when we are in his presence in a covenant relationship, that's where transformation takes place that we cannot fully understand, but it does take place. It is where he changes our hearts, our desires, to be more aligned with righteousness and holiness and purity. And this is something that God has instituted into the Sabbath as we rest in his righteousness. Sebastian was saying, you know, we come into his righteousness and his righteous presence.
Right.
As we rest in him, really the grace comes out because this is where we are transformed. It's not God imposing upon us all these things we have to do. In his presence, we are transformed. and we are made like him.
I think, and that was the ironic reaction, is God is teaching us, don't do anything.
Yes.
And by not do anything, you will understand grace. You will understand you can't work for your salvation. Mm-hmm. You will be changed. You are just a passive element. I will be changing you.
Yes.
Don't do anything. And then at least the Bible portrays there were people who says, okay, well, we're going to do not doing. And we're going to make that very, we're going to be very busy not to do it. And
right.
we're going to try not to do anything as much as possible. And
right.
they made this whole institution and laws and this burden of we must not do anything and we must do it very well. And
yes.
then just and put a lot of effort into that. That's the great irony of that.
It's yeah. true.
We and the same temptation for us today
right.
You're like, hey, this is a day where you don't do this and do that and not and, and look at keeping the Sabbath in a very not Sabbath way, in a very legalistic
right.
way.
Yeah. Right.
So it kind of reminds me of a conversation I had with my barber back in college. And he was telling a story about his daughter and how she was crying and screaming, and she was like, she doesn't want to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to stay with her brother.
Mm.
And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, you just spent 2 weeks with your brother. Why don't you want to come home? And she's just crying and upset. And finally he said, you know what? Fine. You want to get out? You want to go, mm-hmm. you know, back to your brother? So he stops the car and he's like, go ahead. Right. You can go. But the crazy thing is she opened the door and got out the car. So now he's like freaking out. Right. She's like 6 years old. So he's like, wait, what are you doing? Right. So he goes out. She's crying and crying. And he's like, listen, what is the problem? And she says, you know what? I want to go with my brother because he plays with me. And he's like, well, I took you to the park. I did this. I did that, right? Going back to the legalistic rules.
Mm.
But then she says, no, but you don't get down on the ground and play with me.
Wow.
And he was really shocked by that. And to me, the Sabbath is God's way of saying, I want to get down on the ground and I want to play with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any other distractions, not your phone, not your watching mm-hmm. a game. You know, this is just me and you. And God's desire for communion with us,
yes.
it shows his own commitment that he says, I cut aside an entire day
yes. mm-hmm.
to remind you of eternal things
mm-hmm.
while you're spending 6 days working on perishable things that are not yes. eternal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that illustration really shows through the Sabbath in terms of God's desire for education to develop us through communion,
mm-hmm.
but also his commitment to just taking time with
mm-hmm.
us and how that relationship is embedded right in the middle
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to this phrase in the middle there, the not so good part.
Yeah.
verse 14. If you're with us, you shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, if it is holy to you, everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off amongst the people.
Mm-hmm.
Work should be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are kind of like not so nice parts that we just want to kind of skip over and kind of go to the front and end.
Uh-huh.
What does this reveal mm-hmm. about Sabbath keeping, Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it reveals that this is really important to God, very, very holy. I mean, we live in a day and age where nothing is holy anymore, and we just whatever, do whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
and there's no consequences. But mm-hmm. in this reality of Israel, God's presence was God was visibly present to the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
They were his people. They had entered into a covenant with him, and to rebel and break God's commandment in that reality was a very, very grievous thing. It was not that God wanted to kill, but he had no choice, because when you rebel in such a situation, you are... It is a rebellion with an outstretched arm against God, and you have broken a covenant that you have gone too far in
mm-hmm.
that sense. And so, but it shows at the same time how holy and how important the Sabbath is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are really missing out when we are not engaging in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an intense situation, and circumstances have changed a little
mm-hmm.
bit now today.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to this,
so there is a solemnity there yes. with when encountering that proximity with a holy God.
Yes.
Okay, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the severity is just indicative of how important this is to God,
mm-hmm.
and not because God is arbitrary and he likes to, you know, enforce rules because he's bored, but because we're important to him, and so our experience of the Sabbath is important to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think, again, just going back to my natural tendencies, if the Sabbath was a recommendation or, you know, it came strongly encouraged, then we would just, you know, we would do it when we were family, maybe, like on a holiday weekend or vacation. But at any point of inconvenience or where it would cut into our productivity, so basically every Sabbath, we would stop, or we'd do it like halfway, or like I'll devote the morning to spiritual things, but the afternoon is mine, and it would just become not what it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So part of it is God preserving even our understanding of Him and preserving our understanding of where our sanctification comes from. Mm-hmm. And so when I first saw this, it kind of freaked me out, but now I just see it as God being like, I am so serious about this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm so serious about your need for this, and I'm so serious about our communion together.
Okay, so that's the parental concern, parental love, parental mandate for looking out for the life of a child, in a sense. Okay, Sebastian.
And I also want to add the component from our previous episode about faith and this concept of submitting to the authority of God. Mm-hmm. That knowing Him as Creator and Redeemer gives Him that authority to set these type of boundaries to my life, and trusting His goodness behind that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He commands me for my good always, Deuteronomy says.
Yeah.
And when I think about my Aunt Judy used to have a room of furniture covered in like plastic, and you could not even sit on the furniture, right? You couldn't use the china in the cabinets. And you're thinking to yourself as a kid, like, dude, it's just the couch. Like, it's just this. But finally, my cousin and I, unfortunately, he talked me into going in there, right, and playing in this room. And my aunt shows up, right, and she's like aghast. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, my life is over. Thankfully, I live long enough to be on Inverse to tell the story. But my aunt began to explain how many of those pieces in there were some of the first pieces of furniture she could afford growing up in poverty, right?
Mm.
And many of the china were from her parents or grandparents, right? And how they were sacred and special.
Mm-hmm.
And the recognition of that, all of a sudden, because of my love from my aunt, I was willing to treat that which was valuable to her with the same respect and awe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is what God is saying. I rested.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the sacredness that I look at this particular time with. So I need you to enter and experience that same particular respect and sense of honor and sacredness to this very thing that is also valuable to me.
Mm-hmm. It's putting God in His rightful place in many ways. In many ways, Sabbath interrupts us, right? And we have to establish, who is Lord? Is it me?
Right.
Or is it God? And if God is Lord, He has the right to interrupt. I should obey. But sometimes we think, I am the Lord. Man, what does God think who He is interrupting my life? I need to work. I got objectives. I got profit to make. I got studying to do. I have a life to live.
Mm.
And the Lord is saying, in many ways, I mean, it sounds like a mandate that He's angry, and if you don't keep my law, He should die. But in many ways, how many people are out there who are not keeping the Sabbath, who are not, and they're running that rat race, they're running on fumes, and they are spiritually dead, and their trajectory is they are dead. They are just kind of just, they're living a life while dead inside.
Yeah. Mm.
And so the Lord says, He interrupts our lives and says, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Take a picture of where you're at, where you're going, who you're serving, who is
right.
Take a GPS screenshot of your life.
Yeah.
And just kind of reassess where you're going.
Yeah, the Sabbath is really a weekly reset button in a way.
Mm.
But we've been talking about education. We talked about how in the world, education is all about making you self-sufficient and building yourself up. But really, God's perspective is so much higher. And what He wants for us is an experience that lifts us up into His realm and builds us up and heals us and all these wonderful things, where the Sabbath then becomes the highlight of each week, where the entire week is about the Sabbath, preparing for the Sabbath, celebrating the beauty of God's reality in my life, the beauty of His redemption being a reality, His sanctifying experience, which is an ongoing experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Sabbath is, the whole week is just preparation for the Sabbath. It's a reset button. In a way, the Sabbath is also the beginning of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Adam and Eve. I mean, the first full 24 hours of their life was the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time with their Creator before they did anything else was spending just 24 hours with Him. And then they went into the week of work. And
so let me ask you all this question, because the Sabbath has been like, yeah. And it's like, wow.
Right.
So many people want to keep the Sabbath. Many. So what do we do on Sabbath? There's some of us, the Sabbath keeping, especially during this pandemic, Sabbath is like, well, I'm not doing anything during the week, and on Sabbath, I'm going to continue doing nothing on this day as well. What are things that you have done on the Sabbath that not only make it special, but also acknowledge the Lordship, that acknowledge the parental figure who's concerned for us? Mm-hmm. How, and especially your family, are there things that you would do, or is this the 24-hour stopwatch of doing nothing until that sun goes down on Saturday? Mm-hmm. Callie.
I think the overarching thing I try to bring into my Sabbath experience is being unrushed. So having unrushed time reading the Bible and praying,
wow,
having unrushed conversations.
So contradictory to so many Sabbaths, people out there. Yep. I mean, it's like an emergency room stat. We need 55 cc's of getting into the car and going right now. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Having unrushed conversations with my husband, having unrushed conversations with people I know around here. I'm having an unrushed walk with my dog. You know, just this unrushedness. And I try not to look at, but I'm always very aware of what time it is. And it's my goal every Sabbath to lose track of time and just be like, oh, the sun's setting. Fascinating. Like, I want that to surprise me. And so whatever the activity is, I try to have that where I'm present, right? I'm present with those people. I'm present with God, and I'm listening to Him, and I'm communing with Him.
Yes.
But overarching, you know, to your point, you know, we can remove the blessing of the Sabbath by doing spiritual things. And so I think whatever we're doing, whether it's communing in a church or online or, you know, whatever we're doing, having that peaceful and unrushed spirit, I think that really does what Jesus asks us to do.
Yeah, that is amazing. I mean, getting to Sabbath school and getting divine service and getting to potluck and cleaning up the potluck, go home, and then we keep the Sabbath by resting for the rest of the afternoon.
Right.
That's really not, and I appreciate that. Losing track of time on Sabbath, that's a cool...
Sorry, paradise.
Yeah.
I think, just briefly from me, one of the things my family, we love to do is go to this big rose garden near one of the offices where I work, and to see all the different types of roses, the way they've grown it, and to take my children there and to appreciate the fact that when my daughters or my son are like, wow, this is really pretty, or I love the way this looks, you just say, man, look at, this is what God has made. He's a lover of beauty. And how educational that is to my kids outside of
aesthetic appreciation. Aesthetics. We don't think about aesthetics in life. Yeah, okay, Jonathan.
Well, for me, a Sabbath is, I mean, there's so many things you could say, but I think it's important that we're very intentional in welcoming the Sabbath and closing the Sabbath, recognizing that holy time and just appreciating it from the beginning to the end.
That which you prepare for is that which you value, is what Jonathan is saying. Hopefully you've been inspired by our conversation in keeping the Sabbath, and not just for the day and for the keeping, for the sake of keeping in itself, but really encountering God in changing all of our lives, our minds, and our hearts. Thanks so much for joining our conversation. Continue the conversation on our social media outlets. We'll see you next week here on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.